Welcome to Living Well with Dr. Howard Booth on News 102.3 KRMG. The topics explored on the program can help people be all they can be. Dr. Booth wants to help people see that they aren't just victims of genes and germs, but they have choices, and that their choices make a difference in the quality of life and health. Living Well Live.
Good Sunday morning to you. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Living Well with Dr. Booz. He believes health is a journey, not a destination. Living well means taking care of your health, all aspects, physical, mental, and spiritual. Booz Chiropractic Spine Tulsa has been open since 1980 and still going strong, and he's been here on KRMG for about 15 years now. Dr. Howard Booz, good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's 1980, back when they had color TV. But
right?
Yeah, they did.
I graduated high school in 1980.
Did you really?
Yes, I am. That darn old, yeah.
My wife and I were talking about something last night. There was something on TV, which I won't talk about because it was somewhat disturbing. But it was one of those things where you would never see it on normal TV before. But I was thinking back last night about it's one of those first-time things. Remember at Hill Street Blues, they actually showed a guy's rear end on.
Yes.
And it was like, wow. And then we didn't know that men had rear ends. But but then... The Bonanza, I remember it being at my grandparents' home in Sepulpa, and neighbors were coming by because they were going to watch it go to turn to color because they had the only first one of the first color TVs. And it was one of those things like, wow. But it's a lot of firsts. And this won't be a first today because I want to share some things with you that to me, you know, sometimes I'll think, oh, I don't need to share that. I'm sure people know that. And then I realized that in my conversations with folks, they may have a hint at it's something that they have the right words, but then you really get into the actual mechanics of how their body works. Sometimes it's like they need to, it's just that fifth grade education that we need to look back to about how your body's designed, what it's designed to do, because your body is it's the greatest doctor in the world. Your body has a greater capacity to heal than you've ever been led to believe. As long as you just do two things. One is you give it what it needs, and that's a big, big category right there with tons of subcategories. And two, take away what it doesn't need. And that's like, for instance, toxins. And that's another 30 or 40 subcategories. But give the body what it needs, and that could be in the way of nutrition, could be the way of rest, exercise, could be in the way of nerve supply. Let's say, for instance, you've got a segment of your spine that is misaligned to the point to where it's putting a direct pressure, direct type of interference between the brain and wherever that nerve goes to control. Let's say it's T6. So T6 is a vertebrae that when it misaligns, it can frequently, we'll see on not just MRI, but we can see it on X-ray. We can see it on, and I mean, some people say you can't see X-ray, you can't see nerves on an X-ray. No, you can't. But what you can do is you can see a space where the nerve is supposed to be. So let's say, for instance, an opening is supposed to be I'm just making this up, but 25 centimeters, and that's the space for the nerve. And you measured, it's like 5. Well, you know, like, for instance, the sciatic nerve, if you ever don't know how big your sciatic nerve is, look down at your little finger, and it's about as thick as your little finger is. So when it exits L5, yeah, you can't maybe necessarily see a nerve on X-ray, but you can see that space, and so you know whatever's going in that space, if it's a narrowed space, it's got some pressure on it. So we're going to talk about giving the body what it needs, like reintroducing nerve supply, some of those areas that have been blocked for so long. It's like watering, you know, watering your plant or watering your grass to where it gets its energy back again. And then again, taking away what it doesn't. And that's a big field right there from toxins. You know, we found that you actually literally eat about 8 to 9 pounds of toxins a year. You know, you will say words like that, sentences like that, and people kind of glazes over. But you see those big, Russell, you ever go out to Home Depot and you can go shopping out there and they have those big orange buckets. You can either take that bucket around as your
kind of like your shopping basket.
Yeah. And or you can buy it, and it's a big, big bucket. And so I kind of picture sometimes putting 8 to 9 pounds worth of toxins in a bucket and sitting down and eating that's like people would say, oh my gosh, it's unheard of. But we do that. We just don't in a nicer, more social way, rather than sitting down with an orange bucket and eating it. But my mind sees stuff like that. But I my office, it's one of those things to where I kid around a lot, and socially too, we'll go out and do things, and I'll say something, and people will freaking look at my lovely trophy wife Christine and say, is he serious? And it really irritates me sometimes. I'm standing right there. They could ask me, but they'll ask her because they can't tell if I'm joking or not. And I always say, look, if I ever tell you I'm serious, I promise I'm serious. If I don't say that, then we're game here. But so I kid around a lot. But when it comes to the practice of taking care of a patient, I'm not cavalier about that at all. I think it's a very important. First off, it's an honor when somebody comes in and asks me to look at their body, and asks me to make recommendations and follows my plan of care. It just is a true honor. What's an even greater honor, though, is when somebody comes in and they hand over a child to me. That's just it's something I'd never ever take lightly. And it's one of those things too where I guess in my life I do a lot of symbolic things. If something ever gets me down and I'm thinking about it, I can't quit thinking about it, what I do is they always say that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can definitely stop it from nesting in your hair. So I will literally stop for a second and say, okay, I'm gonna think about nothing but this problem I don't want to think about. I'm going to think about nothing but just that for 10 minutes. I'll set my clock. And so after 10 minutes or whatever amount of time, it's easier to quit. So, okay, I'm done with it. And I'll go over and actually wash my hands like I'm washing my hands of it and being done with it. And when I'm seeing a child, I always want to just empty my mind of everything I possibly can. And I always do when, of course, wash my hands because it's a baby we got there in your hands. And to see a mom do that, it's just an honor that I could never, ever thank her enough for. And we're having, by the way, we're starting what we call Kids Day, and where we call it Kids Are King, but Kids Day. And it's the first Wednesday of every, excuse me, take that back. It's the first Thursday of every month, And we'll put that back on our schedule. But it's where kids can come by and get adjusted. And it's just for they're 16 and under, for $20. It's just our way of saying, hey, get your kids in here. Let's get all the stuff out of the way we possibly can. And so, again, Kids Day. It's a lot of fun, too. People come in. And if you don't have kids, sometimes you're not exactly crazy about that particular day. But it's kind of fun, even if you just to watch and see how things go. And we try to get those kids in and out as quick as we possibly can because we know that you got things to do. Which one of those is take a quick break, you think?
Well, absolutely. And a quick question, though. This Thursday is going to be July 4th.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said that.
So maybe not Kids Day this?
Yeah, it actually will be. We won't be there. But no, let's go ahead. Let's do it.
All right. I'll let you figure that out, and we'll take a quick time out. Remember, you can text us your questions. If you've got a question, text us at 95920. You're listening to Living Well with Dr. Booz on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Welcome back to Living Well with Dr. Booz here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 12 minutes or so, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. It's going to be pretty consistent, lower 90s, 20% chance of rain pretty much all week long. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, Money Talk with Dan Witham. If you have questions for Dr. Booz today, you can text us at 95920. Welcome back, Dr. Booz.
Thank you very much, Russell. I just kind of played a visit in my head to my virtual clinic, and I can see somebody sitting in there now or out in the audience right now, and I've announced that this every first Thursday, Kids Day, and actually, thank you, Russell, for pointing out that this Thursday is going to be 4th of July. We will not be there that day. I'm making an administrative decision, and so staff, if you're listening, from now on, all Kids Days are going to be every third Thursday, okay? Every third Thursday, and that's what we'll do. So And again, it's the really reduced fee of $20 for a child just to come in and get checked. But I was playing that over my head. And I remember one time I had a bunch of kids in there one day. It looked like a little, like a preschool day that day. And somebody said, wow, all these kids have bad backs. And it was kind of a, I guess that's what you're, you know, you're, so how you hold that is your context is you get adjusted because you have aches and pains. And no, these weren't old kids who had bad backs and were walking with walkers or anything. But no, because, you know, the your brain and nerve system control every single cell and tissue in your body. And how many of you out there have been through the birth process? Show of hands. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm sure everybody's been through this birth process. And when you've been through it, I remember mine, they actually took forceps and yanked on my head. I guess I had a big head already at that time. Sometimes that birth process is not always the smoothest, easiest thing. And they've done studies. I had one I watched. It was just gruesome. And I hate to talk about it, but I'm going to. And they showed a video of a doctor taking the baby's head and using it as a lever pretty much to yank the child out because it was trying to get past the shoulders. And they were able to stop the video. You know, this has already been filmed. They stopped the video and they're making recordings of the length of the child's neck. And they discovered that in many childbirths where the doctor was in a bit of a hurry, wanted to get things going and would pull that baby's neck, it would sometimes increase the length by twice, the baby's neck, twice. Now, kids are supposed to be pliable. They're not Gumby and Pokey. They're not like claymation. They actually do have a limitation to their matter. And so when you're pulling that child's neck, they found that little tiny, you could find the effects of hemorrhages later on because it would cause tearing in the tissue. It would cause, they found in a lot of studies, it being the, Dr. Taubman did a study and who did a over stillbirths, and they saw many times that stillbirths actually the child was alive during when the delivery started, but after the birth process, the birthing procedure there at the hospital, the child didn't make it through. And they said most of the time it was due to just that. And they, I'm not going to talk about that part. That was too gross. But it was just, when you pull a child's head and the baby, again, it's not, there's limitations to it. But it would sometimes cause separation between some of these segments of the spine into where they would make it through the birth process, but then they didn't make it through the month. They'd be one of those stillbirths that they found. So, you know, it goes to show that nature needs no help, just no interference. And if you just kind of give the body its due, let it do its thing, you know, maybe mother's been having babies in rice fields and doing fine. Matter of fact, the birth process in the United States, it causes us to be way back there. We're not in the top 10 for infant mortality when it comes to babies being born safely. So there's lots of other countries like Cuba and several other countries which have less intervention. Therefore, the baby has a chance to, the birthing process has a chance to do its due and get birthing that child. And, you know, when I've seen so many kids who've come through the office and it's, you know, I could always think of different stories. I remember having one father come in and he had a great family, nice family, had about six kids in the family, and they adopted this young girl, and the baby's name was either Faith or Hope. I can't remember it was one of those names that had that positive sound to it. And so I'm going to say it was Hope. And Hope came in, and first time I met the little cutie, and she was about a year old, maybe a year and a half old, maybe closer to 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years old. And they were really concerned because she was not walking at all, and they were having to carry the baby everywhere. And, you know, by the age of a year and a half, 2 years, I took care of my grandson was at our house this weekend, and he's a year old, and he's out, you know, running around. And so I remember them bringing the child in, and it was, I was palpating the child's neck and just feeling the child's neck. And palpation with a chiropractor, palpation is where we put our fingers on that neck, and it's just like a blind person reads Braille. Over the years, your fingers get very, very sensitive. They get very, very sensitive. They get very, very discerning. When we first start out in practice in college, they'll have us put like very, very thin objects beneath pages of a like four or five different pages, and you're supposed to be able to palpate and slowly begin to feel where that little hair-like thing might be. And you get better and better at it until you're able to go through several pages and find out where something is because of just the pressure differences. And I remember feeling that little Pope's neck. I remember feeling her tiny little atlas at top vertebra. And the father was asking me questions. I kind of prefer to, you know, to be thinking about this in quiet rather than talking. But I remember him asking me, so what do you think? And I said, well, I think we're going to be able to help this cutie out because I can feel something right here, atlas. And I think she's going to be able to walk real soon. And he said, how soon? And I found myself saying, I think now. And so, which I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And in a room full of people. And so I just this little cutie's neck and set her down. And she, Russell, she got up and started walking. And there was not a dry eye in the house, wow, including my own. And she fell down and sat there for a second. Everybody was quiet. And she started laughing and got up and walked again. It was one of the coolest things. And I've got lots of little stories like that. There's a prominent minister here in town. His grandkids would come to see me, and twins, and also same situation. One could walk, one couldn't, and it was one of those things to where I was able to adjust that baby's neck and restore the communication that apparently wasn't there, but the baby got up and began to walk that day too. And things, all kinds of stories with kids. I remember having a teacher in prior, had told these parents about Better Office and suggested they bring their daughter in to see us. This little cutie, her name is Lori, and Lori was about, she's probably 30 now, but she was second or third grade, and she, every day, she would fall asleep at her desk, and they'd ask her why, and then it's because she was taking this heavy meds because she had these heavy migraines. And so finally the teacher said, that it actually would, back in those days, you could actually, you know, pack drugs in your child's lunchbox and, you know, just wrap it in aluminum foil and just say, if you start to hurt, take this pill. So Lori took it every day and would fall asleep because pretty much knocked her out. But so when she came in to see me, it was one of those times to where, again, I take that very serious when somebody drives a baby down from prior, not a baby, but it was somebody's baby. She was, like I say, about probably 10, I guess. And to feel that child's neck and just to feel what it what you're hoping it feels like, and then seeing areas that you don't like, it's kind of like chipping away at a statue. You want to get everything just like it should be. So I don't necessarily want to give the baby diagnosis or anything else. I just want to find out where it feels like it's not right and correct that. And so that's a kind of a real non-technical way of describing it. But usually it's some area in the spine where there's a slight misalignment. It's stuck. It's not moving like it should. And it's a articular fixation. It's not a tight muscle. So you could rub on that muscle forever, you know, massage it forever. But it's an articular fixation, which requires a high-speed thrust in order for that to resolve. And so we did that with this little gentle instrument, the activator. And kids never cry. They always like it. They love it. There's no pain involved whatsoever. And it was so cool to have her teacher say that she's doing great now, no headaches. And her mom and dad became patients and good friends. And I love those kind of stories where I could go on forever about that. There was a little guy named Frank, and Frank was one of the people who was, I guess Frank was about 8 years old or so. And man, talk about a skinny kid. This kid would have asthma attacks, and they'd have to take him to the hospital. They'd give him a round of some kind of steroids and to get the breathing to come back and resolve. And so every time he'd go, though, he'd stay about 6 or 7 days and lose about, 5 to 10 pounds. When you're not very big in the first place, it's kind of tough to get a good growing spurt there. And so my wife, who's a gutsy woman, they're neighbors of ours, and she said, you need to take your Frank in to see my husband. And so after some talking, Lori brought Frank in, and that was the last time he ever had a asthma attack like that. And I wish I could say that's the way it goes with every child we take care of. But a lot of times it does, because kids don't have all the stresses and strains that the parents have. So kids, when they adjust quick. They adjust fast because the body doesn't have as many problems, as chronic problems it's had to deal with for years and years. But lots of kids with ear infections. I don't think I've ever had a child come in ever who didn't resolve with ear infections. People will say, well, how in the world do you adjust ear infections? Well, usually it's, again, C1, C2. The top two segments of the spine, and they'll lock up. And so many times you'll have a child who've had chronic ear infections, who had several sets of tubes in the ears, all kinds of antibiotics, and they'll come and get adjusted maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times. It rarely ever takes more than three adjustments. And I've never seen, I don't think I've honestly ever seen a child ever in 39 years not get over it.
All right, we need to take a quick time out. That's amazing that you can adjust and help a kid with an ear infection. That is very cool. All right, we're going to take a quick time out for the news and the weather, and then we'll be back with more of Living Well with Dr. Booz. Remember, if you've got a question for us, you can text him at 95920, and he'll address those questions for you. Stick with us. We're live and local on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. That's when I Welcome back to Living Well with Dr. Booz here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Remember, if you have questions for us today, you can text us at 95920. Someone sent us a sort of cryptic text. I don't know if you want to. It says equine chiro adjustments. That would be horses.
Yeah, and it's a huge moneymaker because there are these different chiropractors who will study with veterinarians, and some are veterinarians who do it, and some are chiropractors who do it, and they have like different societies where they publish lots of research, and they'll the way they do it is of course these are usually animals that are worth millions of dollars. They're out, they're racing horses, or like they're you'll see them in you know, like Churchill Downs, are the high dollar horses. And so it's I have a friend of mine who practices equine chiropractic in Bahrain, where they have this guy has one of these princes has a big stable of
Arabian
of
horses, I'll bet.
And it's what they'll do is they'll use a kind of like a little mallet. It'll be like a mallet that has a soft end to it. They'll have like different have like a cushion attached to the end of it, and they'll find the area of the spine where the horse is maybe injured or fell or something, and they'll take they'll put that piece up there, and they'll take a little hammer, and it's a real quick thrust, and they'll have somebody stabilize the horse. Really, I've watched lots of videos of it, and it's the location of where they do it, the angle that they do it in, and the speed, and lots of horses have gotten really have regained their previous championship function, their abilities. And it's something to watch. Wow. And there's some that, you know, I've taken care of animals myself, quite a few animals, and a lot of farm animals. Being in Oklahoma, you have a lot of folks who are farmers, and they'll had one that was a little dog that came in. And I always ask them, please don't bring him in during the day, because if you do, everybody and their dog comes in, literally everybody and their dog. Because, you know, it's one of those things to where, you know, we care for animals so much, it's kind of funny to think about somebody that will be giving a dog, let's say a child will be giving a dog some Cheetos or something, and they'll say, no, don't give that to the dog. That'll make the dog sick. That's for you.
But the irony completely lost on them, of course.
So it's they'll have a child who may have an infection or something, and they'll think, well, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But if their animal has concern, they get that child rather. It's not Bahrain. It was Dubai. My wife, I have my source fact. Backer upper here. Okay. And thank you very much, Christine.
Close, hey, by the way, right too, region.
It, for those of you keeping score, by the way, it was the girl's name was not, it was not Faith. Her name was Joy, and she was 3 years old. And so thank you very much. Yeah, it wasn't Bahrain, it was Dubai. And you know, some people will ask, well, how can a child have a bad spine? How can a child have a bad back? Well, have you ever watched a kid for more than 5 minutes? I mean, they're falling downstairs, they're wrestling with their sisters, you know, fall off bicycles. They get to an age where they start becoming involved with high contact sports. Like we've had lots of football players come in to see us, and they're all throughout their career from ages, you know, 5 to when they retire. But a lot of sports will cause these little babies to have their spines beat up and twisted. And I remember one time we had a young girl that's, I don't really remember this, my wife just sent me the text, and remember, I don't forget April, this young girl named April, and she was walking down some bleachers and just began to tumble, and bless her heart, she they were wanting to do. They got to a place where they wanted to do exploratory surgery on her because they had no idea what else to do. And so the mom said, I'm going to take her out of the hospital and take her to Dr. Booz. And so they did that. And she responded so fast, so rapidly. And it's neat to see that happen. And it's not necessarily because I'm such a great doctor, it's because the body's a great doctor. You know, your body's got, like I say, a greater ability to heal than we've ever been led to believe, as long as we just get out of the way. And, you know, and I appreciate, you know, people say you have the better half. My wife is the better half. She's the brain I don't necessarily have. And she will tell me sometimes, I'll start a story like I did last week, and I'll get in the middle of it and forget about that story. So I want to finish up on something, and it has to do with what we're talking about too. And it's I talked about last week, I started saying, how would you like to have a job that no one knew what it was you did, and or they thought that they did, but they didn't. And it'd be kind of like if you're an electrician and somebody were to say, hey, once you fix that wiring, would you look underneath my sink? Because it's just like leaking underneath there, all kinds of, you know, bacteria are growing, it seems like. And the electrician would probably say, well, that's not my area. You know, that's what we call plumbing. You know, I could send somebody over that. Somebody would say, oh, just look at it anyway. Look at it anyway. And I get that sometimes too, because people will think that I'm there to massage her back or to poke where it hurts or something like that, when actually the whole thing is that we're looking at your body's spine and want to make sure it's always its default state. In other words, it's ideally, if you look at an x-ray, you'd like to see a straight spine with level shoulders and level hips, because that means your body's got equal weight distribution, and that by itself means so much. As far as when you're younger, you avoid, you know, there's some athletes you see who always get injured, and it's because their body is not in proper alignment, and they're more apt to have accidents. Or lately, man, it's tough to see this too. I see so many people who are in their 70s and 60s, 70s, and 80s who are falling down all the time. And that's a spooky thing, because when somebody in that age category falls, a fracture of the hip is really a serious thing. It actually increases your mortality rate by double if you have a broken hip. And just that, because it alters your lifestyle so much, and it's tough to get back on course when you've done that in your later years. So it's so key that you keep that body balanced, and that's what our goal is to keep your body balanced. So I always go by your findings and not your feelings. I go by your findings, not your feelings. In other words, if you have people say, I don't know if he even listens to me because I hurt right here, and he doesn't even touch there. He touches, you know, above that or below that. And it's because that pain, sometimes the problem isn't always the problem. Sometimes the problem is just an effect. It's a side effect of your pips being off, and so it's throwing stress between your shoulders, and it's causing, let's say, your neck to hurt, and vice versa. I've had people who had a gentleman come in just this week, and he was one of those people who kept falling down, and his was because he couldn't properly raise his foot. So sometimes what will happen is that there'll be a problem with what's called the anterior tibialis muscle, and that anterior tibialis muscle is on the front of your shin, basically, and it's designed to help pull your toes up, so when you walk, it picks your toes up, so when you bring your leg forward, you're not tripping over your toes, tripping over your feet. And sometimes that muscle won't work, that anterior tibialis muscle, so they go to pick their foot up, and they drag their toes, and they end up stumbling or falling. So they call it foot drop syndrome, because people who have that, you see them lift their knee way up to compensate, and they slap it down, back down, so it looks like a foot drop. They're picking their knee way up and dropping it back down just to avoid the toes dragging. And so that's foot drop syndrome. And for some unusual reason, lots of research has been showing that you'd think if somebody has problems there, you should check the nerves that, you know, we talked about the sciatic nerve, which exits at L5, goes down your leg. You'd think that's the type of area you'd want to check to see if there's any problem with that area. And of course you do, you definitely do. But for some reason, there's a huge correlation between foot drop syndrome, where the anterior tibialis muscles is not functioning like it should, and C5 way up there in your neck. And there's a lot of research behind the neurology that's associated with C5 and your muscles down your calves, and also too how it causes your head to have to jut forward. You know, we've seen more and more people who have what's called forward head syndrome, because their head has to jut forward because they're picking up their iPhones or cell phones and they're looking down at it rather than holding it up in front of their face. And so that constant looking down all the time makes your head lose its natural position, which should be right above your shoulder, which should be right above your heel of your foot. So it should have that straight line. And unfortunately, we've got this forward head syndrome, which causes the head to go way out in front of your body. And so that's what we do. So I can actually finish off on that before we go to a quick break, and is that we just want to put your body back to its default state and not chase aches and pains, because the pains go away once your body sits straight.
All right. You are listening to Living Well with Dr. Booz. Don't forget you can text your questions to us at 95920. We'll be right back after a quick timeout on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. That's when I knew there's a difference in living and living well. Welcome back to Living Well with Dr. Booz here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in about a little less than 9 minutes, your top stories of the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. And your forecast from Fox 23. I think we're going to be, fairly hot and fairly dry for the next week or so. Good. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, it's Money Talk with Dan Witham. If you have questions for Dr. Booz today, you can text him at 95920. We'll try and get that in before the end. Please welcome back Dr. Howard Booz.
Thank you, Russell. Thanks for that little quick text comment about the horses who get adjusted with chiropractic care. And my uncle did that for a few years. He did that for quite some time. And a lot of activator doctors, that's the kind of doctor I am, I use the instrument. They have a better understanding of how to do it, because you really can't do a classic adjustment on an animal that big without some type of a tool of some type. And so that's what we use, these small tools that are painless. And, he was right here in the Oklahoma area, but he traveled all across the United States for people who would put him on an airplane. They'd pay for his flight and pay for his all of his expenses to take care of an animal for a day or two. And that was pretty. People who have animals, again, worth millions of dollars, will do anything they can to make sure that animal stays in good shape. And but it's something to see. And I wanted to kind of get away from that just for a second. So we've kind of ended off, and I've actually completed a segment without leaving it hanging there. And that segment basically was just talking about what we do in our profession in chiropractic, is to make sure the body is functioning right, that the spine is moving properly, that it's properly balanced. We don't want uneven weight distribution to help compress the disc. If you have a tire off in a car, if it's not properly balanced, it's going to cause that tire to age quicker. The tread will become thinner because it's being compressed more in one spot than in the others. Same thing's happening with your disc. If your spine's out of alignment, over time, there's an old saying, millimeters matter. Just a few millimeters, they don't seem much, but when you, every single day, day in and day out, over the weeks, over the months, over the years, it starts to cause that body to change its shape, change its structure, and to cause decay. And so it's important that we maintain that structural balance. But the other side of that, too, is what you put in your mouth. Are you taking your fork and put into your head and pulling the trigger every time you take a bite? Because sometimes people are eating pain. They're eating their pain. And we all know that different types of foods create inflammation. Not just inflammation, like for instance with sugar. Sugar is a great pro-inflammatory. I've seen people who have been in chronic pain for so long and will make some adjustments on their spine. They start doing real well. They're doing great. They're feeling pretty good, but it just never quite seems to stay at bay. The pain continually comes back, and we'll take a look at their diet and recommend certain things. And those folks who just say, "Okay, I'm tired of this pain. I'll do whatever it takes." And if they give up sugar, I've seen people just almost within a week's time quit pains they've had for years. They were taking high doses of like hydrocodone and different types of high-powered painkillers because their body was inflamed, and it was due to what they're eating. And there was an article that just recently came out that I thought was pretty impressive, and it talked about basically that they're finding that if you eat a certain way, that you're going to have more and more depression. And the article is titled "The Food That Helps Battle Depression." And they were asking folks, you know, if you're feeling depressed, you know, what is it you've been eating? Some people say, what's eating you? But what are you eating? Because there's a growing body of research over the past decade or so that shows that a healthy diet, high in fruits, vegetables, and they say in this article, whole grains, fish, and unprocessed lean and red meats. I would take out the whole grains part because I don't think that that's, if it's a real whole grain, we surely can't get so much in the United States. But usually anything, fruits, vegetables, any unprocessed lean red meat can prevent depression. And they're seeing that take place. They're showing people who are just being treated just with diet. There was a study done at, I've never heard of this, Australia's Deakin University. And at Deakin University, they had people who had major depression. And they took 67 of these folks with depression, and some were being treated with antidepressants, some were with psychotherapy, some with both. And they took half these folks, and they said, look, we're just going to give you nutritional counseling from a dietitian, and they followed that recommendation. The other half were given one or more social support, like they were either talking to a psychotherapist, they were either speaking up in 12-step groups, things like that. And the results showed after 12 weeks, the people who improved their diets, they showed significantly happier moods than those who received social support. And the people who improved their diets the most improved the most. And that was in a study back in 2017, January, in the British Medical Journal. So you think about that. If you were to go ahead and I'm all for people going out and talking and getting in 12-step groups or getting into a psychotherapy type group, but pay attention to that diet so frequently you're setting yourself up for lots of depression, lots of and it's also a way to feed sugar, especially also a way to feed any possible cancers, because sugar and cancer, they just go together. That's why when you do a scan, they always inject different types of sugars, basically like fruit glucose, so they can pick up where the scans will show the cancer the most. So that's keep that in mind as you eat this week and go about your business. And I hope to see you next Sunday.
You are what you eat, right? And Dr. Booz will be back, live and local next Sunday. We're here every Sunday from 9 to 10. Up next, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. And then it's time for Money Talk with Dan Witham. I'm Russell Mills. See you here next week.